Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with my co-host, Mike Gary. And Mike, we just got done witnessing a very special World Baseball Classic. Other people felt a little bit differently about this, but I felt that the quality of play was outstanding, considering that there's really no good time to have this tournament. Yes, there were some injuries. The Mets probably won't be asking any players to participate or want anybody to participate. Freddie Freeman pulled a little bit of a hamstring, but overall I thought that, as I had hoped, it was Japan and the United States. The Dominican was one team that fell apart, but the rest of the Latin American countries played pretty well. And how did you see it?
I thought it was fantastic baseball. I thought that final game, a championship game between Team USA and Japan, was one of the best baseball games I've seen. It felt like a Game 7 World Series game. And to see Ohtani versus Trout with a full count, with the game on the line, like we said before in our pre-show prep, is when was the last time you saw, you know, two of the best players on the same team face each other when a lot of things were on the line? I mean, how did it feel to see, you know, Don Larsen pitch against Mickey Mantle when it really matters?
Well, you know, I think it self-professed by the players. They really had a great time doing this, representing their country. It meant a lot. Mike Trout was very vocal, the captain of the USA team, about saying he had a terrific time during these 10 days, wants to do it the next time around. So I just thought that, you couldn't have written a script better. I mean, you got the two best players in baseball, Ohtani and Trout, in the game that is going to decide who is going to take home the big trophy. And Ohtani was throwing UFOs at him. Did you see the last two pitches that it looked like a slider, but you can't throw a slider 100 miles an hour?
Two fastballs in a row, 100 miles an hour, then a backdoor 87-mile-an-hour slider to get the out. Incredible.
It didn't matter who Ohtani was facing. It was going to work out in his favor. But still, I think baseball won. It was the most viewed game, I'm told, in World Baseball Classic history. Had over 5 million people viewing. Anyway, great start to the up and coming baseball season. We have a very special guest coming up here, Mark Langell. We will get to him right after we return from this message. Thanks for being with us. Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at bfffinancial.com. Balance7.com.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-351-8614. That's 800-351-8614. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-351-8614.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and we have returned to We'll See About That. Mike Gary, along with Ron Say, and we have a very special guest, a man that I've known for quite some time. He is the Dodger historian. I call him Mr. Historian. Mark Langell. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Ron, it's a pleasure to be with you.
I wanted to, you are a baseball fan. You're the historian of the Dodgers. You have that title since 2002, and you have a story that goes along with it, and I want you to tell that in a moment. But I wanted to get your take on the World Classic as well, World Baseball Classic. I'm pretty sure that Sadaharu Ohh, Shigo Nagashima, and Ichiro are probably really proud of their Japanese players for playing so well.
Well, what you just said, I think the tournament was actually overshadowed by the last at bat, because if you had written it as a movie, nobody would have believed it. And you think about, you know, Roy Hobbs going up against the young kid, and you gave the Japanese example. You know, what if Hideo Nomo had gone up against Ichiro? Something like that.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
That was just an at bat for the ages.
Good
and the
point.
Fact that it went to full count, the fact that it wasn't a 6-1 game, it's a 1-run game. It just accidentally became an epic at bat, and everyone will be talking about it, even though it wasn't a World Series game, and even though technically it was an exhibition. It was just an amazing thing to see. Just, you couldn't have scripted it any better.
No, and you know what? It kind of lined up for the Japanese too. You know, they had Yu Darvish and Ohtani in the bullpen, all hands on deck to make this happen, and it certainly worked out in their favor. And I can tell you that this is no fluke. This is the third time that the Japanese have won, and this here setup was absolutely fantastic. Like I said earlier, it didn't matter who Ohtani was facing. He was throwing UFOs at him, and it's unbelievable. I could not believe the entire sequence of pitches that went down with Trout.
I think we've come to the point now where we take Ohtani for granted, because before it was Babe Ruth as far as pitching and hitting, and now you do it for long enough, you just take it for granted. And I think that's what's happening with Ohtani right now. People just expect that from him, and people have to remember this might be a once-in-a-century type athlete as far as somebody that can throw a baseball and hit a baseball like that.
Well, he is better than Babe Ruth. Right now,
Ohtani hit .416 in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, he was a part of the rally that they came back to beat Mexico in the game before that. He was an integral part of other games that led up to it. The Japanese team is loaded. They have a kid, Toshida, I believe, is going to be the new outfielders in the Boston Red Sox lineup. They have a kid named the kid that hit the double off the wall and hit a home run late in the other game. I can't recall his name. Yamayuri or something like that. Don't matter. But anyway, this kid is 23 years old. He hit 56 home runs. He's an MVP in the Japanese League. They've got a lot of terrific players, and they are fundamentally as good as anybody.
It's fun to watch, and it all takes you back to Nomo in 95. There was this great mystery as far as professional ball players from Japan, and I think in the last decade we've seen just the wave is coming as far as that expertise, that talent. And it truly makes it now an international game.
More so than ever. More so than ever. All right, it's time to talk about your duties as being the historian for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know that it goes back. You have a history. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this all developed into you being the historian?
Well, a lot of people say, how do you become team historian? And the answer is simple. You don't hit the ball in Little League, you're well on your way. So when you're washed up as an athlete at age 7, I had a heck of a plan B, because with Dodger Stadium just in the neighborhood down the 110 freeway from South Pasadena, I grew up with the team. And all the baseball cards, the reading, the broadcast, and everything like that, there was just something about the franchise and just hooked me into it. And then just like a matrix, you learn about the baseball history, not just the Dodgers, but other teams as well. And at 50 out of my 57 years I've been at the ballpark, my background is journalism. I was a sports writer, Pasadena Star News, and I came to the Dodgers in 1994 to put the publications together. And 2002, they basically said, we don't know what you're talking about, but because of the two ownership changes, can we just call you the team historian and let every miscellaneous thing that's happened in the last 130 years go under your domain? And I just smiled and said, absolutely. And it's the greatest job in the world, because just the other day, we had a email from a fan in Atlanta. I want to paint my house like the Dodger road jersey, so I need to know exactly what color paint to have. And it's just things like that just drop from the sky. It could be something from a year ago. It could be something from 100 years ago. And it never gets old. And it's so exciting to find new stuff every day, because there's so much interest in the franchise. I pinch myself sometimes, because I just say to myself, I still can't believe that I get to do this.
Well, you have a little story with Tommy Hawkins about that too, don't you?
Well, Tommy Hawkins, I had applied for the position in 1990 and I finished second. And so second time around, I'm interviewing and he said, we had a guy that wanted to be here and he's leaving after a couple years. How do I know that won't happen to you? I don't know how it came out of my mouth, but I said, well, if you'd hired me in the first place, we wouldn't have this problem. And we just laughed about it for the next 20 years. And that was absolutely true. Tommy was a great mentor. I've had so many mentors, particularly Steve Brenner. Now, what are the odds that I'm 10 years old and I hear about something called a PR director for a Major League Baseball team? And Steve Brenner was hired in 1975 at age 24. That's the first job I ever identified with. And would you believe now, he's now a consultant, PR director for the longest time. Here at the stadium, we sit next to one another, and just he's a wonderful mentor. So whether it's Fred Clare, Steve Brenner, Red Patterson, I've just been surrounded by so many giants of the industry. You just can't help but learn from them. And that's the great thing, the history and tradition of so many innovators in both the Brooklyn and the Los Angeles franchise.
You've had some great karma there. Very good karma.
I'm very lucky, and I do have to say it is kind of strange to be on this show, because I think it was about 9 or 10 years old. I go to the local car dealership and wait probably about 45 minutes for an hour for an autograph of one of the players. And you may say, well, who was that? And that's the person I'm talking to. Ron Say making an appearance at a car dealership circa 1975. And that really is a great explanation as far as your evolution as a fan, because you might meet a player and get the autograph, you might get to know them, the trading cards, and it's just sort of the cycle of life in terms of there's so many different phases for a ball player. My favorite ball player as a kid was Jimmy Winn, your teammate on the 74 team who helped you win the pennant. And just when you see behind the scenes later as a reporter what these players go through and the challenge and everything like that, I think the other thing too, knowing how hard the game is to play at a very, very young age, I had great respect for ball players at all levels because I may know the history, but I certainly can't explain how a curveball curves or any of the other intricate things as far as swinging a bat, but I certainly appreciate everything that the ball players do.
Well, it's called spin rate, you know, all the new metrics that come into baseball today that basically run the whole show, you know.
And, well, my favorite word is standings. That also helps. And so it's fine to have all the stats and everything. And I give tours to new employees and a gentlemen from the baseball ops. I couldn't resist because I said, you may have all the layout on paper, but you still have the pebble that might hit the ball. You still have the collision in the outfield or a call by the umpire or what weather. And they just nodded their head. They said, there's just only so much you can do. You can make projections, but there's no way you can be controlling about anything because the players still have to play the game. And you also have an opponent on the other team that's wanting to beat you as well. You can't do it in a vacuum.
Well, we're certainly going to have some new rule changes, too, which kind of increases the job that you have in terms of new statistics and everything, because we have the designated hitter, which is going to change the amount of runs scored and the number of hits and whatever else. So we're changing history as we evolve and the bigger bases, and we'll see how that works out. But I also want you to think about when we come back, your primary focus as far as bringing the players closer to the fans. We'll be right back after this message. Thanks for being with us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968, 800-817-2968, 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
Hello, Ron Save. And we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say with Mike Gary, our special guest, Mark Langell. Mark, is it fair to say that your primary focus is to bring fans closer to the game by connecting them with Dodger history? And how do you do that?
Absolutely, because I think the most important thing is for them, fans, to know in the moment if something is significant, as far as whether it's a retired number, whether it's a record. You need to put it into context. And it reminds me of the last game of the 1980 season, because you guys were knocking on the door and trying to have a playoff. And if you're just sitting there watching Dodgers and Astros, okay, you're not understanding the history in terms of this could be only the fourth National League playoff in history at the end of the regular season, 46, 1962, 1951, and they all involve the Dodgers. And so I always, as a kid, had that in the back of my mind. Yeah. So I think it's important, whether it's Bellinger with all the home runs as a rookie, whether it's a strikeout record, whether it's a 200-hit season, it's very important for fans to be able to know that what they are seeing, just like presently as far as the 10 consecutive playoff appearances, you have to tell people, hey, you're getting spoiled, because before this streak, the record was two in a row. Now, granted, the playoff system was different, but I think that's the most important thing, just to let fans know the context and to say, or at least you could say, yeah, this is a player doing very well, but this is the standard. Maybe 40 years ago, like a Sandy Koufax, here's 382 strikeouts in 1965. So you have to be able to highlight the current players, but I think it's very important, too, to highlight players from the past that, whether they hold a franchise record or a Drysdale or a Hershiser scoreless inning streak, it's very important to be able to show the milestones in the past that have led up to the 2023 season.
Well, you must have had a lot of conversations with Don Sutton, because I can remember any number of games that certain balls were thrown out of the game, and the ball's coming around after he struck somebody out, and I'm the last guy to give him the ball. And he says, no, throw it over to Bill Buehler, our trainer. Roll it over to the dugout. And I'm saying, you want this ball to go into the dugout. Well, at the moment, and I learned later that he had just struck out somebody that helped him pass Don Drysdale on the all-time list. Now, I don't know how you do that when you're in the heat of a game. You realize that you need four strikeouts and you're counting them along the way. I mean, it just sounded crazy. So when I went back into the clubhouse after the game, I'm saying, I went over to Bill Buehler. I said, okay, so show me the ball that I had to throw. So he's already got it inscribed, and he would give it to Sutton. And I just found it to be amazing that this stuff went on during the course of a game.
Well, I'm embarrassed, because my favorite spot was right next to the bullpen, and it was kind of like watching this ant farm. You're a little kid, and you're watching, you know, people warm up and everything, and it was kind of like this little secret area that nobody else really paid attention to. And one time, Sutton's not pitching, but he's sitting on the automobile that was in the bullpen, and he had just pitched a one-hitter against the Giants. And I think in my high-pitched voice, Mr. Sutton, what was the pitch to Mark Hill? Because I'm just asking him. I'm just, you know, what was the pitch? Because you would have had a no-hitter if Mark Hill doesn't get that base hit in the eighth inning. And he looks at me, and he points to the field, and he goes, you should probably watch the game. And I said, okay. And so I tell him that story maybe 15, 18 years later. And he's not sure how the story's going to end. So he goes, was I nice about it? I go, oh, yeah, you were very nice. You told me to watch the game. He goes, oh, good.
Well, I have another Don Sutton thing for you. 1980 regular season finale against the Astros. We're trying to tie the regular season during the Astros. If we win this game, we'll have a one-game playoff. You have a story about Koufax and Sutton about that home run that I hit in that game.
That, you know, it's exactly right. And who would have thought that this podcast – I'd be able to tell the story, because it's the eighth inning. You guys are down 3-2. You foul the pitch off, but then you hit the homer off of Frank LaCourte. And to prove that I was a horrible Little League player, I'm just standing there looking up to the sky. How exciting, a home run. That ball missed hitting me in the head by like 6 inches because obviously I misjudged it. I thought it was maybe 20 feet behind me. So A, that proves what a lousy ball player I was. But then I find out later, I hear the story that Don Sutton was supposed to pitch Tuesday in Philadelphia if you had won the playoff game. So he's working out on that Sunday early in the game. Sandy Koufax comes up to him at his locker. Sutton's pouring himself a glass of wine. And he says, hey, you better get your shoes on and go down to the bullpen just in case they need you. Now, backstory for Dodger history, supposedly Walter Alston was saving Don Drysdale for the first game of the 1962 World Series. So when the bullpen had a meltdown, a 4-2 lead in the ninth inning turns into a 4-1 four-run rally for San Francisco, everyone's like, where's Drysdale? Where's Drysdale? Probably Alston wanted to keep McCovey on the bench, but Koufax had remembered that. So that's why he tells Sutton, be ready. So after you hit the homer, Steve Howe gets in trouble in the ninth inning. The bullpen gates swing open, and who comes in to pitch? It was his final appearance in his first tenure with the Dodgers. He comes in and he gets Denny Welling on a grounder, and you guys have a playoff the next day. But just imagine going from about to have a glass of wine in the third or fourth inning to Koufax telling you, hey, you better be ready just in case.
By the way, Don Sutton was a major wine connoisseur. You have a Hank Aaron story that goes along with this. You and your mom.
I do. Early 1974, it's a Monday night. And Hank Aaron is going to play the Dodgers at home, and the game's going to be on TV, and I'm all excited. This is really the first year I'm into it. Mom, can I stay home to see if he breaks the record? And my mother, being the practical person, she said, well, you are part of a team. And I wanted to say, have you ever seen me hit the ball? They don't need me. They probably, you know, 7 or 8. But she said, well, you should probably go just in case. Okay, fine. She brings a transistor radio, so we're listening to the game. Hank Aaron makes out in the first, or he walks in the first at bat. I want to take the radio out for the fourth inning because he's going to be up again. And, of course, my wise mother says, well, I don't see any other kid holding a radio. Okay, fine. So I'm in left field dying 1,000 deaths because they get the first two batters and then there's a rally. And I just know what's going to happen. I don't have a good feeling. So by the time they have the third out, I run off the field, my mother's holding the radio, and all I hear is cheering. He just hit it. Ugh, missed it. Now we fast forward. 15, 20 years later, I'm working for the Dodgers, and they asked, can you escort somebody on the field for Jackie Robinson Day? Absolutely. The next day, they said, it's going to be Hank Aaron. So now, a couple days later, it's just he and I in the elevator as we're going downstairs. No pleasantries, no small talk. I mean, small talk in the lobby, but once we're in there, in the elevator, I said, I missed it. My mother made me go to my Little League game. And she said I was part of a team. And Hank Aaron said, well, your mom was right. See my mother a couple days later, and I tell her the story. Her line, how did I know you were going to tell on me to Hank Aaron? So, you know, all those dominoes falling. And when Hank Aaron passed away, I eulogized him on the morning news. They said, can you go on TV and talk about Hank Aaron? They were running an extra minute, and I was able to tell that story. And at that point, my mother's living at my sister's, and I called my sister and said, hey, I told the Hank Aaron story, so when she wakes up, let her know. Would you believe she was sitting there watching the news? So some things you just can't explain, and I think that just goes with the job and the 50 years at the ballpark. These things about the Ron Say home run almost conking me in the head, the Sutton bottle of wine, the Hank Aaron, everything like that, it's just... It doesn't surprise me anymore because all these connections, that's what keeps me going. Not the standings, just all these connections and the people you have the privilege to meet and the history that you get to see. Even if it's done by an opposing player, you exactly. still have to appreciate that moment.
Well, I did not miss it. And I thought it was fantastic. It is the most historical game that I have ever played in. It was an honor and a privilege to be able to be a part of that history. And the following week, the Atlanta Braves came to Los Angeles and played us in a weekend series. And I had two posters and two balls. And I walked it over to the visiting clubhouse, and Henry was not in his locker at the moment that I came in, so I waited patiently. 5 minutes later, he comes in, and I said, Henry, I said, I'm not leaving this clubhouse until you sign these balls and posters. And he said, no problem. And it was a great honor. I actually played my first All-Star game in 74, and Henry Aaron batted third in that game, and so I had a chance to be his teammate for a game. And it
what
was
what a wonderful man, and what a wonderful moment, and also what a wonderful poster. I had that poster in my room for 30 years, and I just thought it was so nice that the Dodgers would honor an opposing player like that, not only with a poster, but, you know, with a plaque in the left field pavilion to commemorate his last home run. That really made an impression that the team would do that to honor an opposing player. Like last year, I thought it was such a nice touch when they did something for Pujols before the game. Here he's on the brink of 700 home runs, and a visiting team is willing to celebrate that. I thought that was a special moment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Henry was very deserving, too. I mean, I've listened to any number of stories about the racism that went on during that period of time. Of course, it was prevalent before with Jackie Robinson. But to hear some of the stories that that Hank had told or had been a part of and be able to break this historical record was really an incredible time for the black community, the black players, getting this kind of recognition for all the great things that they're doing in the game. And certainly nobody deserves that better than Henry Aaron, the way that he carried himself. Certainly one of the five best players ever to play this game. The statistics are there bearing it out. And I feel privileged to have been in an era of baseball that was able to have so many great players that did so many great things. And it wasn't about money back then like it is today. It's a far cry from that. But certainly an incredible experience that not only you got to share, but I got to share as well. And when we come back, we will have more to we'll see about that with our special guest, Mark Langell. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.
Scott for Scots here. You ever want to grow new grass faster? Kind of like when you press the 2x playback button on your podcast so you can speed through episodes. Except it's Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass. You're speeding your way from a thin and damaged lawn to a thicker, stronger one in just weeks. Bit too fast, maybe slow it
down, okay. Let's just go back to normal speed.
Get a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass today. It grows grass 2x faster than seed alone when applied at the new lawn rate, subject to proper care.
Feed your lawn. Feed it.
This is sponsored by IBM. NASA collects a massive amount of Earth and geospatial data. IBM is building and applying new artificial intelligence technology to help NASA analyze this data and extract insights about our planet. IBM's technology can help scientists detect changes, such as natural disasters, crop activity, and wildlife habitats, to better understand current climate issues. IBM and NASA are also using IBM's AI technology to create an easily searchable body of Earth science literature, providing researchers convenient and timely access to scientific information. Raghu Ganti, principal researcher at IBM.
Researchers have already seen the potential for today's AI technology in language applications like chatbots. Now, IBM's work with NASA will show a new use for this technology, one that will help a community of scientists working on our most pressing climate issues.
This is just one way IBM's AI technology can be applied to many areas of business and society. To learn more, visit research.ibm.com.
Honey, come here, quick!
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly, B21.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current employee retention credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours, the decisions are yours.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that. It's time for This Day in Dodger History, brought to you by BFF Financial. And since we have the actual Dodger historian here in the house, I think we're going to let Mark handle this one. Mark, take it away.
This week in Dodger history, March the 23rd, 2014, just imagine opening day in Australia. The Dodgers and the Diamondbacks started the 2014 season in Sydney, Australia at a cricket ground, a historic location. Clayton Kershaw made the start. Scott Van Slyke hit a home run and the Dodgers prevailed 3-1 in the earliest opening day in the history of the franchise. In the game, if you wanted to see it in Los Angeles, started at 1:15 in the morning.
Certainly that's international baseball at its finest. I mean, you traveled a long way to get that victory, I'll tell you that. And what an incredible time, for baseball to expand. You know, a couple of years ago, I believe we opened in Japan. And then, of course, because of the time and the travel, you know, you have to come home for a couple of days and then you restart the season. But did you get a chance to travel on that trip?
I didn't travel on that trip. I was lucky in 2008 to go to China. And just imagine being on the Great Wall of China as the Dodgers and Joe Torre and his players are posing. And they had a two-game exhibition against the San Diego Padres. And that whole time was just surreal. Because imagine leaving Florida on a Wednesday. We lost one day of travel. So we leave Florida on a Wednesday. We get back to Arizona on a Sunday. And in between, we were in China, and it just felt like we never slept because the whole time it was just one thing after another. It was an Olympic year. China was hosting the Summer Games, and so they wanted to show baseball to the population there, and it was just that was an amazing experience as well.
Well, you've spoken about that international stuff, and also there was a Dodger trip that to Japan in 1956 that I'd like you to talk about.
Well, after the 1956 season, Walter O'Malley decided that they would have an exhibition in Japan because after the war, the San Francisco Seals went in 1949, and then the Yankees and the Giants, and finally it was the Dodgers' turn. And just imagine playing over 22 games after the season, going everywhere, and it turned out to be Jackie Robinson's last appearance in a Dodger uniform, and his final game, he hit a home run. And so that is the trivia question that nobody ever gets. In what country did Jackie Robinson hit his final home run wearing a Dodger uniform? You get every guess under the sun, and nobody would guess Japan. But they went also in 1966, then they went back in 1993. So they've had international, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Taiwan, they've been around. But that 1956 trip was really the first time that they went abroad. And O'Malley in 1952 wanted to have a world tour. And I think the players just sort of stepped in and said, look, we have to have some winter time with our families. We can't do the whole season and then go on a world tour, because there had been a world tour in the early 20th century with John McGraw and the Cleveland and going to like Cairo, Egypt, and everything like that. So he had grand ambitions of a world tour in 52, but by 56 they settled on Japan, and they thoroughly enjoyed the trip.
Well, I think the Murdoch ownership had its eyes on world baseball too. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But since we're talking about Jackie Robinson, you know, give us a little history about how the Dodgers ended their relationship with Jackie Robinson.
Well, at the end of the 1956 season, Jackie Robinson is traded to the New York Giants. Now, Jackie has decided to retire, but he's not able to say it, because back in the day, and young people were going to go, what's a magazine? Look magazine. had spent a lot of money for a three-part exclusive series on Jackie's life, and one of it was, we want to have the story when you retire. So Jackie's kind of in a tough position because he's traded for pitcher Dick Littlefield and $30,000, and he comes out and says, well, if I play next year, you know, it'll be fine. You know, he wasn't upset with the Giants or anything, but he couldn't say anything. And then about a week, 10 days later, the magazine finally comes out, and a lot of people thought, well, it was a salary ploy. He wanted more money. And Buzzy Bevesi, the general manager, didn't help the situation by saying, well, he'll play if the money's right. Well, that didn't go over well with Jackie because he'd already decided to retire because he was going to be an executive with the Chock Full of Nuts company. And a lot of people see the picture of Jackie retiring and they look at the Dodgers-Giants rivalry and they say, oh, there's no way Jackie would have played with the Giants or anything like that. That couldn't be further from the truth. He wrote a nice note to Horace Stoneham, the Giants owner, saying, hey, it's nothing personal. If I was going to play in 1957, I'd happily play for your team, but I've decided to become an executive with Chock Full of Nuts. And so the ending 1956 turned out to be in Japan, and then that trade that ended up being nullified. But Jackie definitely didn't retire because he was going to be traded to the Giants. Dolph Camilli, the National League's most valuable player in 1941, that actually happened. He's traded to the Giants in 43, and he's like, no way, I'd rather go home. I'm not playing for them. So sometimes, you know, you could cite the rivalry as a reason a player not wanting to come. But Jackie in the trade in 1956 had nothing to do with the Giants. He was more mad at Bevesi for what he had inferred in terms of, you know, maybe a salary ploy or something like that. But he just basically had to wait until that magazine story came out officially announcing the retirement.
You know, you have thoroughly gone through every piece of information that covers the Dodger history. Is there anything that caught you off guard? Do you have a favorite thing that you found? Something that obscure, somebody looked over, player involvement, anything that comes to mind that was, you know, kind of out of the blue?
Sometimes something will come about and it's not necessarily in our files, but it's just sort of out there. And the example that I think of is Tommy Lasorda's high school yearbook, because Tommy had left school before the senior year was over. And so there was an auction and it touted this high school picture of Tommy Lasorda. And I had never seen it before. And with all of my dealings with Tommy, and I had been behind the scenes with him, not only as a reporter, but 2007, I had the privilege of driving him in spring training for 28 days. And I'd never seen that photo. And so I thought, okay, I got to get this. And I walked into Tommy's office. And the reason I knew he had never seen it was because there was something I had never witnessed in Dodger history. And that was Tommy being quiet for a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he just stared at that photo. And that's how I knew that he had never seen it before. Yeah. Tommy's in the front row. He's got sort of this fluffy hair and he's wearing like a sweater. That was the type thing. And finally, after a minute, in Tommy fashion, he recovered because he pointed to the man in the suit in the team photo. And he said, that's the guy that didn't play me. But for the first minute, he had never seen that before. And that was really fun to be able to do for him, to be able to give back a piece of his childhood. A lot of times you'll see forms, you'll see scouting reports, things like that. Sometimes, like I heard Buzzy tell a story once, the only reason we signed Clemente was so the Giants couldn't have him. So, but when you hear stuff like that, it's not necessarily documented, because right. If somebody says something 20, 30 years later, it's easy to put a different spin on it. So that's why I like to read the primary source, whether it's a form, whether it's a story of the era. But I think that was the fun part, giving Tommy something that he had never seen before, his high school baseball photo.
For sure. Tell us the influence that Vinny had on you. He kind of taught you the game a little bit, didn't he?
Well, I think he taught everybody the game if they grew up in Southern California. And for me, I wasn't the type kid that thought I was going to be the next Vin Scully, because there's only one Vin Scully. I actually wanted to be the next Steve Brenner because he was the PR director of the Dodgers, and I just thought that was the coolest job in the world. And so Vinny, though, taught me just the power of storytelling. And there's always this axiom as far as be careful of meeting your heroes. And I think this wouldn't have been such a dream job if I had met Vin and somehow been disappointed. but he couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't have been just the everything that I thought he was. He was even more behind the scenes as far as just the humility, the preparation. I asked him once, I said, how do you do it in terms of you go out there in front of a million people? What is your mantra? What's your motto? And he quotes Sir Laurence Olivier, the actor, have the humility to prepare and the confidence to pull it off. And I think that was the key. When you learn about all the lessons that Red Barber gave him as far as being on time, being punctual and everything like that, Red Barber gave Vinny a toolbox that he would use for 67 seasons. So that was the key. He got the good habits, but then he never got ahead of himself. Even his wardrobe, he said that he was a guest in somebody else's home when he was on a telecast. So that's why he wanted to dress well. And then he could joke about himself when he was older. He'd say, these are my distractions. If you see my socks matching my kerchief or this or that, you don't notice an old man. You're looking at my costume. You're looking at my distractions. And so he could laugh at himself, but he was also very serious as far as doing all that preparation. He would, you know, let's say the Phillies are going to come to town in 2 weeks. He'd start that research ahead of time. And you know, at the end of a broadcast, after you saw all the research that he had in front of him, you'd go, oh my goodness, he only used 1%. And that was the key. He used it as a spice instead of a crutch.
Well said, Mark. And to echo your comments about meeting your idol, I wasn't disappointed when I met Willie Mays.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories about, you know, in media about people you meet, especially here in the Southern California, that, you know, they're not the nicest people behind the scenes. But Vin Scully, a true gentleman.
Yeah, he was really one of a kind. Fortunately, you know, I lived, you know, for brunt of that period, you know, a couple miles away from him. And during the latter part, while he was here with us, I got to spend a little bit more time, had a few visits over to the house, which was always fun, but he was the best. And, you know, it's, you know, a legacy that will, you know, I still think, though, no disrespect to anybody else for what they've done representing the Dodgers, but I think Vince Scully is probably the number one character in this group. And Jackie would be right there behind him or with him. And Walter O'Malley as well, with all his creative innovation, the ability to see things, you know, before they happened, and bring all the success and the most watched team in the history of baseball to Los Angeles. Unbelievable. Just a wonderful period of time for us. You know, I did want to tell a story. How much time do we have on this one? We've got 2 minutes. I wanted to tell you, Mark, that I was with Bob Case and Al Ferrara here last week. And Al had this bat with him that was inscribed as the first ever Grand Slam home run hit by a San Diego Padre player. It may have been a pinch hit, but I can't recall right now. And he said he hit it off of George Culver. And you know George Culver. I know George Culver. And George was a teammate of ours back in the 70s. And so I texted this picture of this bat to George. And I said, do you remember this? And he says, I don't ever remember this happening. And I said, well, that's a pitcher's mentality. And the next thing he does is come after me, and he says, you know, Penguin, he says, he always calls me Penguin, he says, you know, you went 1-for-1 off me in your career, and it was a broken bat, humpback liner over the second baseman's head that three guys tried to kill each other trying to catch. And he said, you ought to feel proud of yourself. And I said, my recollection of that is that I hit a line drive off your foot that went in caromed into right field, and you had an opportunity to intentionally walk me, and you didn't. And so that's where the rhetoric went, and it was a lot of fun. But these stories that we have to tell are ongoing. It's been an absolutely terrific time spending this with you, Mark. Thanks for being with us. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you both. I enjoyed it so much. Thank you.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health.
Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Hello, everyone, and we're back for our final segment of We'll See About That. Ron Tse here with Mike Gehry, and I want to thank Mark Langell for a terrific job. Mr. Historian, wonderful to have him on the show. And the real baseball season opens up next week, and we already have some pre-favorites. The dreaded Astros are listed as plus 600.
The hated and vile Astros are at plus 600, meaning if you bet $600, you're going to win only $100.
Yeah. And they're going to have to, unfortunately, start the season without their all-star second baseman, Jose Altuve. I suppose that's of no consequence to Dodger fans. The Yankees are listed at plus 750. And the Dodgers are listed at plus 800. And I think that that one there is a little bit off.
Too low, too high.
I think that there's going to be a lot more teams that are going to challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mets, although they're going to lose Edwin Diaz, the highest paid closer in baseball for the entire year, celebrating in the win that they had during the World Baseball Classic. Very unfortunate for Met fans. I really felt that if that wouldn't have happened, that they might be number one because they are loaded. And I really like the Phillies, too. And you can't help but think that the addition of Trey Turner after them going to the World Series, and they have a lot of young players that are developing very well. You've got Bryce Harper and Trey Turner locked in for the rest of their careers.
Yeah.
They're going to be very
successful. That's going to be a very tough lineup, especially come fall.
And you've got JT Realmuto, too, who is the best catcher in baseball, who was also in the lineup for Team USA during the World Baseball Classic. You can't ever count the Cardinals out. They got two corners, two MVPs, and Arenado and Goldschmidt. San Diego has improved immensely. I think they are the team to beat. Sorry, Dodger fans in the West.
They spent a lot of money this offseason.
And Milwaukee is going to be a threat as well. It's happening soon. And I just don't it's going to be a very interesting season with all the new changes, of course, coming up. Our next week's guest is going to be former Dodger announcer Ross Porter. We're looking forward to have him and all his experience of being a writer, a broadcaster for the Dodgers. And I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend. See you next week.